Have you ever looked at your life and thought, I do not know how I'm still here, but I am? So there are women walking around right now who are smiling, functioning, showing up, but behind the scenes, they're literally just trying to survive the day, moment to moment. Today's conversation is about what that really looks like and what it takes to come back from that. So today we're joined by Candy Keffler, author of Never Far Too Gone, which is a deeply powerful memoir about surviving abuse, illness, and unimaginable loss, and how she found a way to rebuild a life that once felt completely broken. So thank you so much for being here. I feel like this is going to be a really powerful and inspirational conversation. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I'm really
Yeah,
excited to
I'm
be here.
super excited. Super excited. Let's first get into, take us back to who were you before everything started to unfold? Can you take us back to life as it was before everything that we're going to talk about in a few moments?
Wow. Sure. Well, I survived a 21-year abusive marriage, both physically, mentally, emotionally, all those things. Was a young girl, married at 19, two young babies, in a marriage that was just massively physically, emotionally abusive. Stayed in that marriage for 21 years, and then got into another relationship. I was just in my own demise, so to speak. Just jumped into another relationship that was wasn't physically abusive, but was massive mental abuse. And to me, mental abuse, I think, is more so damaging than physical. I'd rather, bruises heal. Mental does not. Mental stays with you forever. To this day, I still have, flashbacks, all those things, but with internal work, I've learned to deal with that. But mental abuse stays with you. That relationship lasted for 7 years. I'm lucky to be alive from that relationship. He did go to prison for what he did to me. So yeah, lucky to be alive from that. And then diagnosed at breast cancer at 50 years old. 10 surgeries, massive financial devastation. Just a life of red flag after red flag after red flag, living literally in the trenches for half my life. So, just a little bit about my life. I'm 54 now, and half of it was lived in survival mode. And when I say survival mode, it is fight or flight mode for half my life. And so that's just a little bit of where I came from, and I am lucky to be where I'm at today. It came with a lot of inner work, a lot of, sleepless nights, a lot of, tears, a lot of just fighting for my life. But that's a little bit about myself, so.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's amazing the resilience that you had to move forward and continue going. And I think a lot of people are going through things, but they're ashamed, they're scared, but they present like nothing's wrong. So, did that, can you relate to that? Like, what did life look on the outside versus what was really happening behind closed doors?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I got really good at putting on a front, like everything was great on the outside, but in reality, it was falling literally apart. I looked in the mirror, didn't even know who the hell I was. I looked and I knew it was my reflection looking back at me. It was me, but I didn't know who I was. But when I walked out that door, there was a smile on my face and a front for everybody else. I was showing up for everybody else, taking my kids to their sports, taking, them to their, to school, to, going to work, and just putting on that big, huge front, that smile. But, when I get in the car crying and just literally falling apart on the inside. And when those doors closed at night, everything fell apart. But everybody thought everything was fine, and I got real good at putting up a front for everybody else. But And I know that there are so many people out there that are suffering in silence, just as I did for all those years, and carrying all of that shame, all that guilt, all of that, those burdens, and just just all of that with them, carrying it all. And it's you get good at putting on a front for everybody else, but you're just dying on the inside carrying all of this. So yeah, I got good at it. I got good.
And I think it's like we develop these patterns. So, for example, for me in a past relationship, if I would like look at another man, the guy that I was with in like in the far, far past would do like a mental play a mental game with me where if I looked, he thought I was looking at a man, then he would look at another woman up and down to like even the playing field, I guess. And that was like his twisted way of being really insecure. But to this day, when there's like a really attractive man who's like maybe he's coming up on the sidewalk and we're gonna pass, like that situation still affects me. Like I'm
Right.
like, oh, I can't look or I shouldn't be looking because this is gonna bother, but I'm not even with this person anymore. For so the body remembers those patterns, and it takes such a long time to unwind from that. And I'm not a doctor and I'm not a diagnose, I can't diagnose somebody, but I do know that the body starts to shut down because being in constant stress mode, inflammation continues to build up. And maybe the illness was the universe's way of saying to you, okay, this has got to get like something's got to change, you know, and that's
Right.
where the true healing comes in. Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. So going from survival mode to healing, let's talk about that. So what does that look like and how did you get out of that relationship and like tell us more about your story?
My marriage was, I mean, we just grew apart. There was so much, like I said, so much abuse and so much, married young. So much abuse and so much, cheating, and there was, addiction played a part. And, I'm not, proud of the decisions I made in that relationship, but it was numbing. I just tried to numb myself through that time period of my life, and I got out of that and, with a lot of work, a lot of, stick to it, a lot of realizing that I had two babies, I had two children that needed me. That needed me as a mom. And then, with the second relationship that I was in, I knew that this relationship was going to, if I didn't get out, I was going to end up as a statistic. This man was literally a psychopath. I mean, when I'm talking mental, it was stalking, it was all of the things, waking up to him sleeping in my driveway in the morning, following me wherever I went, just
Oh my
things
God.
that you watch on TV, that you hear about them being found, in their apartment, not a lot, I knew that I needed to get out of this relationship or else I was going to end up as a statistic. I listened to my mom tell me, I am so afraid I'm going to wake up to a call in the middle of the night that you're going to be found in your house, not alive. And so I took that to heart and I knew that I needed to get out. And as you said, those triggers of, just like that, looking at that gentleman walking by that you can't because you're afraid that, this person that I'm with now is going to react that way. I still to this day have, those things that bring me back that, you can't look at this person or you can't do this or that because this person that you're with now is going to react the way that person did. Mental sticks with you forever. And you still find your, I still find myself, sometimes just, going back to those triggers. But starting to heal, you start listening to that still small voice. I've told myself, in therapy, in different, just trying to, heal myself, you get inside yourself and you start getting some really good advice. You know, when you get inside your own mind, that you're going to get some good answers, because once you start digging deep inside your own mind, you know what the answer is. You might have gotten lost, you might have gotten way off track, but once you get inside that mind, you know. And I just sat by myself and started listening to my own head, listening. You know, this isn't right. You know, this is not the way it's supposed to be. You know, you need to go this way. You know, you need to start doing this and start getting alone with yourself. Start listening to that voice inside your head, because you're going to get some really good advice from your own self inside your own head. And that's a lot of what I did.
Absolutely. I do know that though, a lot of times we know what we need to do, but the doing is the hardest part. Like I sat in a relationship that I wanted to get out of for a very long time. There was so many factors involved. There was, where am I going to go? How am I going to support myself? I had no idea. Like the path just seems so difficult to get out. Yet every single day, it was like the universe was making it harder for me to live in that situation. Like it was like little things like, I started a new job at home. I need an office space, and now the internet's not working. But in order to fix it, we have to dig up the wires. Like stuff like that started happening, where I would be on a call and internet would cut out, and I'm like, oh my gosh! Like not only is it hard to live like this, but now the universe is like making it impossible. Until I just couldn't take it anymore. What was your breaking point, and how did you end up changing?
Red flag after red flag. Being completely broke for one. I mean, we were always broke. I mean, no money for anything. The man, drank every single day. Couldn't hold down a job. I was the only one working. I wasn't making enough to pay the bills. I think the breaking point for me was being diagnosed with cancer. It was the red flag that I finally got given. I mean, all the other red flags weren't making it for me. I mean, the cheating, the financial crisis, living in complete chaos and destruction. And I mean, all those red flags weren't enough for me. But being diagnosed with cancer, it was like, okay, if this isn't the complete red flag for me to change, then I don't know what is. And that for me, I think, the red flag that I needed, that okay, I have a serious illness here. I can't keep living like this. I can't keep living in destructive mode. I'm gonna have to take care of myself. I'm gonna have to go through these surgeries. I'm gonna have to literally change everything in my life to survive. And if I don't, then what's it for? I have two kids. I mean, adult kids now, but they need me. They kept begging me, Mom, you need to change. They were constantly in the background, Mom, Mom, Mom. And finally, with that, I decided that, you know what? I need to pick myself up and I need to make this change, or else I'm just gonna die. And I needed to make that change. And that was the red flag that finally pushed me over the edge to make that change. But you're right. There's so many obstacles in the way. You make excuses. I don't have the money. I don't have the means to do it. I have kids. I can't do it. I have kids and I can't leave because of the kids. There's so much that you're going to make excuses not to leave. But in the end, you just got to do it for yourself if you want to survive, if you want a life.
100%. And like your body essentially was responding to everything you were carrying physically and emotionally. And that was your body saying, it's go time. Like this is, unfortunately, that's typically what it takes. And for most people to change is that moment of, it's like the Hail Mary. Okay, now's the time. Because I don't have another option for sure.
I was at my end.
So what happened next?
So I just started, slowly climbing out of the hole. I mean, when I'm talking a hole, I was in a complete hole. Lots of, I was in complete financial ruin. I had to move in with my parents for a while just to start, digging myself out of the complete devastation I was in. Just started, I started slowly. Healing doesn't look, like roses and, this perfect scenario. It's messy. It's ugly. But you just start. I just started slowly. I started going to therapy. Started my own, my own inner work within myself. Started getting alone with myself. Going on walks, journaling. Even if there was blank paper with tears on it, I just started slowly, just starting that inner work with myself. Getting alone with myself. Getting deep in myself. Praying again. I got so far away from God that I didn't even know who he was anymore. I didn't even know if he cared anymore. And just slowly started, building myself again. Started recognizing little things about myself that I didn't even know existed anymore. And little by little, I started getting glimpses of myself back. And there was some things that I had to work through though with that second relationship, that legal things that had to come, with the stalking, with all of those things that had to come along with that, which were hard, but I had to do it to get rid of that hindrance that was hindering me from getting away from that relationship. And so once I did that and just started, rebuilding a little bit by little bit, it just, things started coming around. I mean, not overnight. It took a lot. It took a lot of inner work, but it slowly started rebuilding myself.
When you look back at going through everything, why do you think you kept quiet for so long? And why do you think so many women keep quiet and stay silent about their abuse and trauma?
I think a lot of it is shame. I think a lot of it I was ashamed of because I didn't come from an abusive child. I wasn't abused as a child. I wasn't any of that. I came from a very loving home. My parents are still together to this day. I, came from a very, very loving home, and I was ashamed. I was ashamed of what my home life and what my marriage and all of that had become. And just, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing to see what our family was behind closed doors. And so I wanted to put this facade of, oh, our family is this perfect, this perfect scenario of a family, of what a family should be. And I think it was mostly shame. I was, and a lot of it was scared of, I was scared. I know I would, if I said anything or if I would say anything, I was gonna pay for it, pay for it. It was an abusive relationship. And so a lot of it was fear, shame, guilt. I was guilty of things that I did to numb what I was going through. But a lot of it, I think most of it was shame. Shameful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for me, in a situation like that, I think if I'm being really truly honest with myself, is that I felt like if I said it out loud, that would make it real, and that would
Real.
mean that I would have to do something about it. And when
Exactly.
you're in that state of like sheer helplessness, and you're not confident, and you have nowhere to kind of, you don't know what you're supposed to do, that can be traumatic in itself. And so it's like fear of getting out of it, fear of being happy, fear of, living the life that I want to live. Like it sounds crazy, but it's like the fear of success kind of
Right.
taking over, because it, that even though what you were going through is super abusive, it was what you were used to. It was
But
your
you're used to
comfort
it.
zone.
You're used to it. You get your body gets so used to it and you just adapt to it. And that's
Yeah.
normal for you. And it's just you get so used to it. And Yeah, it's normal. It's normal. So anything different is just, it's not,
Predictable.
it's not predictable. And you just get used to it, and it's not normal for you. So you just, and it's denial. You deny it. If you deny it, then it's not real. So you're just in a state of denial all the time. So, yeah.
So a lot of, I mean, your identity and your sense of self was lost in that time. How did that impact the way that you saw yourself as a woman?
Oh, like I said, when I looked in the mirror that day, and I didn't even, I mean, I knew I was so lost, but when I literally looked in the mirror that one day, and I still remember this day so vividly, I looked in the mirror and didn't even know who I was looking at. I knew it was me. I had lost so much weight, and I didn't realize I hadn't been diagnosed with cancer yet. I didn't know I was sick yet, but I didn't even know who I was looking back at. It was just a hollow shell of a woman. I knew it was my reflection, but I had no laughter, no joy, no life, nothing there. Just a hollow woman staring back at me. And it scared me. It was like, what, who are you? I had lost all identity of myself. I didn't even know who I was. And that's what scared me. I said to myself, you have got to make a change, because you're not even you. I mean, you don't even know who you are. You've lost every part of yourself in all of these relationships and these events and these traumas and everything that you've been through. You've lost yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. From when I was, I mean, I talk openly about my past addiction on the show all the time, and when I was going through my darkest times, there was always a piece of me that knew that it was going to be okay. Like, even though I was also, like you said, that shell of a woman being like, no, how do I get out of this? What do I do? I still felt this glimmer of hope inside of me. Can you relate to that? And what was your flicker of hope? Where did you feel that?
I do. I mean, like I said, there was addiction in my marriage, when I just wanted to numb everything. I mean, it started with drinking. You know, my husband is an alcoholic, my ex-husband is an alcoholic, and you know, it was easy to just join and drink with him. But then after a while, that wasn't enough. So it started being, you know, the other things, and to numb everything. And but I always knew that this wasn't, I knew that I didn't have to do that. I knew that it wasn't something that was going to be something that I was going to fall into forever for me. It wasn't going to be like an addiction, like I was an addict. It was something that I was just using to numb something for my through this. So I always knew that there was a hope on, there was always that glimmer of myself going through that. If that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but I never felt like I was going to go through down that road of, you know, having to go to rehab, you know, anything like that. I just knew that it was just a numbing, mechanism for me just to get through dated, you know, just the, get through what I was going through with this relationship, you know, and
For
I
sure.
felt like, yeah, and degraded as a woman, you know, with his cheating, you know, with all of everything, the name calling, the beating, all of it was just degraded as a woman, you know, didn't even feel, you know, worthy as a woman, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Did faith play a role in your recovery at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it did. It did. It always was there. There was that little still small voice in my head, you know, that said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you know, this isn't right. You know, what are you doing? You don't need, yeah. And then also at, you know, healing, you know, through everything that I'd been through, there was always that, you know, God never left me. I left, I swayed away. I backslid so far that I didn't even know where I was. I thought that God had left me. No, I had backslid so far that I didn't even know where I ended up. And but he had never left. He was always there. It's just that I had gone so far that I'm sure he was just waiting for me to say, all right, you're back, you came back,
Exactly.
so after.
So what does life look like for you now? And how did you survive the cancer and the surgeries and where are you at now?
Oh my gosh. My life is absolutely, I can't even, I can't imagine. Looking back, I never would have thought that I would have the life I have now. I am with my lifetime partner that I've been with for the last 3 years. It'll be 3 years this year, but I have peace in my life again. And peace is something that I prayed for every single day. I literally laid in bed at night and I would just pray to God, please just give me a little bit of peace in my life. That's all I want. I had none. I had no peace at all. There was just chaos and, just I never knew what the next day would bring. I was always on high alert for the next thing that would come up. Always tense about what would happen next. I just wanted peace, and I have that now. And with an amazing man that is loves me for who I am, everything about me. I'm cancer free. This year will be 4 years cancer free.
Amazing.
Had to go through 10 surgeries to get there. Massive financial debt, but we got there. We're working through it. But just God is amazing. It's amazing that, it took a lot of work, took a lot of internal work, a lot of, just having that faith and that belief that, never losing hope. Hope is the oxygen to survival. I'll tell you that. If you do not have hope, it will suck everything from you. You've got to have hope. I know it's hard to have it when you're going through, all of those things. I don't know what your story is or what you're going through, but if you don't have hope, it will suck every single thing away from you. It's the oxygen to survival. So with the hope I had, I never lost it. I always had it. I always had that little glimmer of hope going through all of those dark valleys and those, everything I went through. So my life's amazing now. I never will look back. I mean, like I said, there's always those little triggers that will come up here and there, but with the work that I've put in and, all of the hard work that I put in, I've learned to deal with those when they pop up and, so.
Yeah, that's amazing. So for everyone probably is wondering how you met your current partner that you're so happy with. I know when you just like choose yourself and God, like then all of a sudden the universe starts delivering you amazing things. So tell us how you met.
It was 3 years ago on Memorial Day weekend, a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to for over a year. That's another thing. When you start working on yourself, you set boundaries. You set boundaries with yourself and you just get alone with yourself and you just start, you kind of recluse a little bit and you kind of just, you just start, getting alone with yourself and just start really setting boundaries. And I had, done that, and I hadn't talked to this friend for a year, and she had heard that I had cancer. I went through all my cancer stuff, and she had reached out to me, and she had recently gotten divorced, and she had met somebody, and lo and behold, my partner now is best friends with her husband now. And so she invited me up to our cabin, which is my significant other's cabin. And invited me up to spend a weekend up there. Just they were going to barbecue and just hang out over Memorial Day weekend. And I, at first, I said no. I didn't want to do that because I, when you're healing, small talk and all of that, just you're not into it. You just don't.
No.
You're just not into it. It's just not. It's just too much. And I, at first, said no, but then something in me just said, just go. You haven't seen her in a year. Just go. Go visit. Go have some fun. And so I went. And as soon as I met Jason, is his name, my soul, our souls connected. I wasn't looking for anything. He wasn't looking for anything. He had been through some things as well. He is an old soul. I'm an old soul. And we just connected, not with butterflies, not with any of that. It was just soul talk. It was talk. It was, we just connected, and that's how we met. And we've been together ever since. I mean, he, after that day, he didn't call me for 2 weeks. We just talked and we left. And then I got a phone call 2 weeks later and he asked me out on a date, and we've been together ever since. So it's
That's
just,
amazing.
that's how
Such
God
a
works.
happy ending.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say to the woman out there who feels like they're trapped and hopeless right now?
I would tell her to, first of all, take a breath, be easy on yourself, but take a walk with yourself and just get inside yourself. Get inside yourself and just kind of examine where you're at in your life. Set some goals for yourself. Set some goals for your life, not for anybody else, but for yourself. You have one life. We all have one life. We are here for a short time, very short time. In the grand scheme of things, it's a really short time, and you're meant to live a fulfilling, beautiful life. And if whatever you're going through, if it's not serving you peace and happiness and joy, examine it. Examine it and realign it. Realign it to where it should be. I know it may not be easy in the situation you're in right now, because believe me, it's most of the time it's not. But starting small and just building it to where it can be that fulfilling, beautiful life, because that's where you should be. You shouldn't be living anything but. I mean, we all have one life. That's it. And you should be living that. I mean, we all should. We all deserve it.
Definitely. Yeah, for me, it was learning how to disconnect from what I didn't want. So just, I
Right?
literally stopped putting any energy towards it. And then I started putting more energy towards stuff that I wanted to do or that I should be doing for myself. And once I was able to establish that disconnection on an emotional level, because we become toxically attached to these things, right? So there's
Right.
a level of what's the term for it when you're attached to someone and it's not in a good way, anxious attachment.
Yeah.
So even though it's not good for you, you're still attached to that life. So when I was able to disconnect from that anxious attachment style and put myself first again, there was no turning back. It was like,
Right.
I don't care you're doing, this is what I'm doing. And it was like choosing the self over it for me. So
Right.
yeah, thank you for being here and for sharing your story.
Yeah.
It's so raw, it's so real, and it's something that more women than we can even imagine are going through. So you wrote a
Absolutely.
memoir. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wrote a book, Never Too Far Gone. It is my life story. I decided to write it because I started journaling when I was going through all this, and I just was writing so many things down about my life, about what I went through. And I realized that there are so many women, and even men go through this too, that are going through it. And I decided to write a book about it. Write a book about it because I made it my mission to reach as many people as I can, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what it may be, you know, abuse, traumas, medical traumas, whatever it is, you are never too far gone to live a beautiful, fulfilling life. You're always able to, recover from whatever it is that you've been through. You don't have to be ashamed of what you're going through, of what you've been through. You can always make it out. You can always get to the other side. I never thought that I'd be living the life I am now, years ago, but I got here and I'm here, and I'm proof that you can do it. It takes some work, but you can do it. And so I wrote my book, and so yeah, I'm hoping, it's already gotten into a lot of hands. I've talked to many, many people, gotten a lot of great reviews on it, had great conversations with people. It's been really good. So
Amazing. So where can people find more information about you and your book and what you do?
yeah, I have a website. It's candykeshler.com. And then my book is on Amazon. It's also on Barnes and Noble. You can find it. If you just Google, Never Too Far Gone, you'll be able to find it. It's on several different platforms. So.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much again for being here. I think it's amazing that you've been through all that and you're able to show up today and in front of a large audience and tell your story. I think that says a lot about who you are, as a person. So thank you for that. Do you have any last minute thoughts you want to leave the audience with?
I just want to let everybody know, no matter what you're going through, I know it's hard. I've been there. I know that they're, laying in bed at night, crying out for just for some peace in your life. No matter what it is that you're going through, I've been there. I know what it feels like. You can get out. You can make it to the other side. And no matter what it is, you guys, you're never too far gone. Go read my book. It gives you, I hope you find some inspiration in it, some encouragement. It's why I wrote it. I know what it feels like, and just, you're not too far gone. So,
Amazing. Well, thanks again for being here.
yeah, thank you for having me.
And you're going to be doing a series with us, so we'll be digging deeper into your story in the upcoming episodes. So I'm super excited for that.
I'm excited.
Amazing. And to our audience, thank you so much for being here. It's something, today's conversation was something that so many women need to hear because it gives language to what you might have been living in silence, or you are living in silence. So if this episode resonated with you, make sure to check out Candy's memoir, Never Too Far Gone, which will be linked in the show notes. And if you're in a season where life feels broken, remember what Candy said. You're not too far gone, not even close. And if this episode may benefit someone you know, please send it to them, share it with them, and leave a comment. We do read them, because the more people that hear this, the more people that may be inspired to change. So stay tuned for the next episode. Thanks for being here. Bye, everyone.
Attention, all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.